Now Kroger. Oh, Kroger got the right hand free.
He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate. And down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt.
It's old time hockey.
Enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the biscuit. It's the biscuit.
Damn it! The goal regulation size of what?
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. There's a country will stop working on some badness fucking can.
Hi everybody. It's the biscuit podcast.
Hey, wanna go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man.
All right, Biscuit Babies, I'm joined today by Brian Anderson, co-host of the Hockey 411 podcast and contributor for the hockey writers for the New York Rangers. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good.
Doing good?
Well, I'm happy to be here.
Hell yeah, thanks for coming on. You said you're going to skate here in a little bit?
Yeah, I leave for school in a couple days, so I'm going to get a quick skate in before I leave.
Yeah, don't blame me there, bud. All right, man, we're here to talk New York Rangers hockey. You go 48-28-6 last year, make the playoffs, play pretty good in the playoffs, ultimately fall a little bit short. How you feeling about your boys this year?
Last year's team kind of, you wanted more out of them. The second round was disappointing.
Yeah.
I think most people expected them to go to the third. I mean, when I looked at it, I thought, you know, Ottawa's a good team. They play their systems well, and they should have passed them. I mean, the Rangers had better talent, and they could have taken on Pittsburgh. But, I mean, let's be honest. Pittsburgh wasn't going to go all the way to begin with.
Yeah.
But with the fact that they came out in game six, and then they kind of, like, I don't know how to describe it. They, like, fell on their face. They just looked like they didn't want it. Their effort level wasn't there, and, you know, they've played a lot of playoff games in the past 7 years.
Yeah.
It's been a lot. I think the retinkering this offseason shows it, and I think we're going to have a better year than this year. I don't know about standings-wise, but I'm expecting at least a third-round playoff series.
I agree, and I think going through Montreal wasn't an easy feat either, so I think the gas tank was just a little bit empty. I expected them to beat Ottawa, but, you know, Ottawa started playing their system really well, and it worked, and they got hot at the right time there.
Yeah, they really did. And I think when you look at the Canadian series, it was a tough one. I mean, you're going up against Carey Price, a solid defense core, and a forward core where if you're in a 1-0 game, yeah, they can strike. But if you get into a blowout, they're not going to come back because they're still looking for that score. I mean, they shut down Max Pacioretty, which was awesome. But, you know, against that defense core, when they had Emelin, which I'm not a big fan of, but he is physical. Weber's physical. I mean, you look at those guys and then that decor around them, not really that mobile, but then having Carey Price as your goalie changes everything. And that fact that they outdueled the best goalie in the game is a huge win. And then you go into the second round, you lose a couple games where in overtime where you had good chances, and it was just a shame that they couldn't pull all together because they looked like they really had a shot this year. And I think they would have pushed Pittsburgh far, but I don't think they would have won. But even if they did, you're playing Nashville, and you know everybody saw Pekka on the road. So it was kind of a wasted opportunity because the way this core is getting, it's getting older.
Yeah,
and you got to start retinkering, which the general manager Jeff Gordon did, I think, a pretty good job of this summer.
Yeah, Emelin's a fucking punk, and playing in Montreal too is during the playoffs. I'm sure that. That takes a little bit out of the boys mentally as well. And then, like you said, playing Carey Price for that many games is that's a feat. So, you know, they fall a little bit short. And I also like that. I mean, that was an East Coast Stanley Cup no matter what last year. Whoever was getting there was taking it. You know, it sucks. A lot of people want to see Hank win one. Do you think with what they've done in the offseason – they're looking better, and can they ultimately get there and, you know, get Hank that cup before he hangs the old mask up?
You know, I think after the retinkering, they're going to have a better shot. But when you look at the whole, I mean, just take the Metro an example. You look at what's happened. I mean, the Islanders got Eberle. the Hurricanes look like a very deadly team upcoming. You know, the Flyers and the Devils had top picks 1 and 2, respectively. So you're talking about Nolan Patrick and Nico Hischier in the division. Not only to mention that, you still have Ovechkin, Crosby. I mean, even the Blue Jackets, they got Panarin now. It's a very tough division. I don't see Lundqvist winning a cup as much as I'd love him to. I just think it's too tough in the East right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the Metro. I haven't even mentioned the Atlantic, which has gotten better, too.
The Metro's insane. Metro is insane.
It's unbelievable how stacked it is right now and how tough it is. But I love Hank. I've loved him ever since I was a little kid. But I don't see him winning it. I think this team's going to be good. I'd love to. It's going to come down to crunch time where they're going to need a clutch goal scorer. I don't know if they have that right now.
Yeah, they end up getting the deal done with some Bizhadad, which I think was they had to do that after Stepan left. They had to get some kind of firepower back in there. But he's going to be playing, what, more top-line minutes now. Do you think he's ready to take that on his shoulder?
I think he is ready to be a number one center. He's young enough where he's 24, mm-hmm. and he had a good season last year.
He did.
With him, I don't know if he's a true number one yet. I think I'd like to see him play this season. He did only play 56 games, and he had an injury, and he had 37 points. But he was a contributor. He came up clutch in the playoffs. I think he can be a number one. They need him to be a number one.
Right.
Kevin Hayes is going to slide up in tier two slot. And then you can look at Desharnais or Cristobal Nieves coming up from the AHL, filling in that 3-4 there. And so down the middle, it looks kind of weak. I always wanted a little bit more from Stepan after he left, even now. He was getting paid a lot. I always wanted just a little bit more. In my mind, he was never a true number one center.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought he was a good second line center on a team. And that's no knock on his game. He's a great center. I just felt like I wanted just a little bit more out of his game.
Now, I expect big things out of Kevin Hayes. I think he's going to fill into that role well. I think a lot of it is going to be on Mika, how he can play on that top line. If he does well, obviously the Rangers will do well. But if he, you know, gets hurt or can't handle the pressure of playing top center in New York, they might be in some worries. And playing in the Metro, fuck, for any of these teams to get a wild card spot it's tough going. It's a crazy division. What are some of the other highlights of the offseason for you? Obviously, Shattenkirk comes over. You get Pavelec from Winnipeg. You know, you got to have somebody to back up after Antti ended up going to Arizona with Stepan. What are some of the other highlights in the offseason for you as a fan?
Well, I think I had an opinion on Shattenkirk before, and I wrote an article on him for the Hockey Writers, where is that they shouldn't go after him because, A, he's probably going to want a 6 or 7 deal. So the fact that they got him around 4 is awesome. Like, I love that deal. Like, my opinion's completely changed. Yes, he's a defensive zone liability at times, but he commands the power point, the point and on the power play on the blue line there very well, and he puts up good numbers from the back end. And I love this deal, and it gives them another stride. Him and McDonough as your top pair is a very good one, too. Pavlik, I know enough about him to where he's injury prone / Winnipeg, you know, didn't really play him last year. They sent him down to the AHL. I don't know. I don't know if I really wanted him last year. I think I would have been out for a guy like Kemper.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cheaper deal, but he ended up going to LA. I think the thing with the Rangers is that if you look at the past two goalies, they've both been shipped off, backup goalies, they've both been shipped off and become starters. Cam Talbot and, you know, Ranta looks like he's going to be a starter right now. So Benoit Allaire, the Rangers goalie coach, looks like he's got a little bit of a project here, but I've got full confidence in him, and I think he can really change Pavlik's career going forward. And then, not even that, the Rangers did lose their fourth line center in Oscar Lindberg, which is a big loss.
Yeah.
Because he can play in all three zones.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, though, you know, you're picking up Desharnais on a 1-year deal. So if he goes sour, they get rid of him. They picked up D'Angelo, who's a young kid, local kid who grew up in South Jersey. I love his game. He's bounced around from team to team. He's a former first rounder, kind of a head case at times. But I think with this team, if he plays bottom 6 minutes, like in your 4-5 spot on your depth chart, I think he's going to have a good role. I think this team going forward is going to look a lot better.
Yeah, I think if Pavlik can play as little as possible. I think that'll be best for you guys. You know, just get him to come in, do his, you know, give Hank a rest every now and again. But if it has to go to him in any matter, that's pure fucky. Unless he turns it completely around. With Shattenkirk, he's a beast on the power play. I mean, that's
yes, right.
You know, he's a fucking stud there. He, to me, just seems kind of like a turd. Like, he's just, like, I don't think I'd like to, you know, go slam a beer with him or anything like that. He seems like a team killer a little bit. But
I kind of got your vibe on that, too. In the playoffs, I don't know if I'd use those exact words, but it sounded like, I don't know, with St. Louis and Washington, it kind of just like, eh, like, you want a little bit more out of him, mm-hmm. if I'm getting at what you're thinking at. And I think that's more of his defensive liabilities there. I mean, yeah. I wrote an article on him, and, you know, you watch some clips where, you know, he loses track of his guy, and next thing you know, it's in the back of his net. And I don't know. I think I just want a little bit more out of him, and I think on a new team, and I think he wants to be in New York.
I agree wholeheartedly.
He grew up here. He denied a 7-year contract from the Tampa Bay Lightning. You're talking about Stevie Y and just a really, really good Tampa Bay team, and you're denying a contract from them, where you're probably their top 10, or you're not your not your top 10, your top 2 defensemen. And, you know, he denies that, and he comes to New York. So I think the fact that he wants to be here is a big key.
Dude, I agree completely. I was actually just about to say that, like, the fact that he wants to go to New York might eliminate that because he gives up big plays. But
yes, he does.
He's going to have, you know, McDonough hanging out next to him. So, you know, McDonough might be like, all right, bud, you're in New York. You wanted to be here. I'm going to expect a little bit more out of you. And the two American dudes on a pairing in New York, that's pretty badass.
Yeah. And I think McDonough will be able to help him thrive in his role, maybe to cover up some of those lapses. Because, I mean, Mack Truck, everyone knows in New York, is a good, solid two-way defenseman. He can help out on the power play. He can shut down Killer. I mean, when you look at it, he's just as reliable as Hank. I don't have any flaws in his game. And we got him from Montreal in a pretty good steal, a trade a couple years ago.
Yeah. And I don't think he'll mind, you know, playing, not necessarily cleanup, but helping out a little bit if Shattenkirk does, you know, misplace his guy. And, you know, I don't think he'll mind that little bit of responsibility. He might even like it because the dude can play and he's a hell of a defenseman.
Yeah.
I was surprised Smith ended up signing in New York. I expected him potentially to go back to Detroit. He seemed to play a lot better in New York than he has in Detroit in the last few seasons.
He did. It was funny because before he was traded, Detroit wanted to extend him, but it sounded like there was just a disconnect. There was on term money or the fact that, you know, Smith actually wanted to go out and win. I mean, Detroit Red Wings fans, let's face it, they're trying to retool, but I don't think they can do it because it's so competitive. But Smith, when he was first traded here, I was shocked what they gave up. You know, you're giving up a second-round pick. The Rangers, of all teams, love to trade their picks. Let's be honest here. They haven't had a first since 2012. So when they got 2 firsts this year, I was bouncing around the house.
Yeah.
With the fact that they got him for another 4 years, and he played so good with Shea, and he brings a little bit of a physical force there. I mean, he fought Shaw on the thing, and that's something the Rangers need. And
yeah.
For years and years, when you looked at it this year, when even in the past, they were always a softer team, more skilled, more speed. When people don't realize that when Tanner Glass was brought up, he was like a spark plug for this team, and it showed a lot. And
fuck
the
team, dude.
Team was like, oh, well, we got to get going here. And it kickstarted the engine there in that last month of the season. And, you know, obviously he was in and out of the lineup in the playoffs, but.
But I know, dude, he's gone now because. How was good was he contract. In the playoffs, though? When Tanner Glass was called upon in the playoffs, I thought he fucking came in like a bat out of hell. Like, he was ready to go. I thought he was. He had me rooting for the Rangers.
I completely agree with you. Now, he did score the first goal, he was throwing around the weight. I think. Excuse me. There were certain instances he was shuffled in and out for Butnevich, who I'm going to get to in a little bit because I love that kid. But he was shuffled in and out. And I think you're looking for more of his physical or speed kind of game. But when he was put in, I think he did his job well.
Absolutely. Especially in Ottawa, when Ottawa tried to bring up Neil to kind of impose their physicality, Tanner Glass came in and, you know, ended up getting Neil to act like an asshole. and get some stupid penalties. But Tanner Glass is one of my favorite dudes on the Rangers. Just that dying breed of player like him who's not afraid to throw the knucks, man. You got to love it. You mentioned the two draft picks. They went defense with him, didn't they?
No, they went forwards.
Oh, did they? Who'd they end up picking out? I know, what, a kid from Sweden? Well,
the seventh overall pick they got was Elias Anderson, who was probably supposed to go in the teens, I'd say. Excuse me. I don't mind this pick now. At first, I was kind of taken aback. Like, some better players on the board right now. But when you look at this kid's work ethic, he's got NHL relations. His father played high up in Sweden, played a couple games in the NHL. He's an excellent team player. When you look at him, his work ethic is huge. Now, some people will say he'll play this year, but I think he's playing in Sweden. He's going to go back in the SHL and he'll play there. But I like this pick. He's 5'11", he's 198, he's a big body. I think he'll fit in that second to third line range. I don't know if he's a top-end guy, but I think he's a solid pick. And he's a good character to have in the locker room because he'll show the younger kids once he gets over here that, you know, if you want to make it to this level, you need to work your ass off.
I like that. Yeah, I was reading actually this morning about him and that people are expecting him to play. I agree with you. I think I'd like to see him stay over in Sweden for another year and then make his way over here. But that, you know, a dude that works like that, that can be contagious. You know, as a professional, you bring that into the room and you're working your ass off with a smile on your face. You know, other guys will wake up in the morning and come skate with you or work out. And that, you know, that's always good for a team.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Jagr. Look what he did for Florida. He rubbed off, you know, these ethics on Huberto, Barkov, Bjugstad. I mean, he people were disappointed players-wise when Jagr left from Florida.
Yeah.
And I want to get into one of his country mates, I believe, from the Czech, Filip Chytil, who was their 21st overall pick, the Rangers, their second first-rounder. And I disagreed with this pick because he's 17 years old. He's very young. You know, he's a skilled player. He's sleek. He's slimy. He's one of those kind of players. He wasn't supposed to be taken in the first round, in my opinion. He was supposed to be a little farther. I would have rather had Yamamoto or Tolvanen. I think Yamamoto, he's shorter, who was taken by Edmonton. A little shorter, but he's got a lot of speed, and he can put up points. And Tolvanen, who slid all the way down to 30, is a pure goal scorer, and the Rangers still need something like that. Who actually, Tolvanen's going to Nashville right now, and when you look at it, Nashville got a steal for him. But Chytil, he's supposed to be, if I'm pronouncing his name right,
sounds good,
a third liner max, I think. And I think if you're taking a first rounder to have the potential of a third liner, that doesn't really show you a lot. That doesn't restore confidence in my scouting staff.
Right.
I don't know. I was expecting more. I would have rather had Yamamoto or Tolvanen because I think there's higher upside. I think they're quicker. I think Chytil's more of a project.
Yeah, I think I think I would have pulled on Yamamoto on that pick. He's got a lot of skill. I mean, he's flashy too, and I think the potential for him, like you said, if you're going to use a top pick like that, why not try to get a guy who could be potentially a top line guy?
Yeah, and you've seen it. I mean, Edmonton, their back to back drafts, at Puljujarvi, and they got Yamamoto now, and it's just two very skilled forwards that they can wait on because they have McDavid and Everly, not Everly anymore, Draisaitl. But they have these other players where they can tell these guys, you know, you take your time. Once you come up here, you'll be ready.
Yeah, it seems like they got a cup or two coming in the next 5 years with what they're doing out there in Edmonton.
Yeah, that's scary, guy.
Yeah, it is. You mentioned Jagr. Is anyone going to give that guy a fucking job?
Here's the thing with Jagr with me. The way the NHL is trending right now, it's a speed game. You look at all the players now, most NHL teams are going to promote within. Yeah, you're going to have some of your outliers where you're going to have, like, you know, a couple grinders there. I mean, you know, look, Prescott got a PTO. Thorburn's in Vegas now, if I remember correctly. But
Thorburn ended up going to St. Louis. He didn't sign there.
He went to Vegas, then he got traded. My bad.
Yep.
I mean, Reeves is with Pittsburgh now. I mean, you see stuff like that. Those guys can still move their feet. Jagr, when you saw him, and I saw him in person last year, which was really, really cool. I haven't seen him in a while, but just Barkov was kind of dragging him up and down the ice on that top line. The hands are there, the points are there. I mean, he had 40 points last year.
But yeah.
When it comes to skating, he just doesn't look like he has it. And that's why nobody's offered him a contract, and that's why nobody's offered Ginla or Dona a contract, because they're skating in a league where speed is what you need to make a team. Now, I do think Jágr at some point will get PTO or something like that, but unless he fixes his skating, I really can't see it.
Is there a team that marketing-wise could use him to fill the seats and maybe has a little bit money to pay the 40-year-old? What Jágr's going to get paid? You know, he's going to acquire a certain amount of money just because of who he is.
That is very true, and I think that's why Florida kept him for an extra couple of years, because they struggle with attendance.
Absolutely.
I would say Arizona or, you know, like Long Island. The Islanders have – I've been to that arena. It's not a fun place to watch hockey because
it's the worst. Side
of pucks and corners. it's really scary sometimes. But, you know, but when you look at those teams, they've got a lot of young players coming up, and they don't really have the roster spots. So it's tough when he's looking on the outside end. Maybe someone will offer him if, like, an injury happens, you know, sooner rather than later. But I think from a marketing standpoint, a business view, it can happen. But the teams that you're looking at that struggle with attendance, you know, the Hurricanes and stuff like that,
yeah,
they have forwards. They have young forwards that are going to come up. So yep. It's tough.
I can see
him to get a job.
I can see maybe Ronnie Francis giving him a call. But if you're the Hurricanes or Arizona, and I don't want to stay on Jágr too much because we're here for the Rangers, but Arizona and the Hurricanes have made a lot of improvements, and it seems like getting Jágr and taking that roster spot isn't really helping you to try to win, you know?
Yeah. I think if you were to bring in Jágr, it's kind of more like a father figure to mentor guys.
Yep.
You know, play minutes here and there. I think the Hurricanes kind of – they have that with Jordan Staal. I think the Arizona Coyotes now have that with Derek Stepan. I think that's why they went out and got him.
Yeah.
I just think it's getting a lot tougher now to make an NHL team. And, you know, hey, I'd love to see him get signed, but I can't see a team not yet giving him an offer.
Yep. Out of the three –
at least if I'm a general manager, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I think his speed is really killer.
Out of the three you mentioned, Doan, Ginla, and him, he's the only one I see potentially coming back next year. I don't think Doan or Ginla are going to be in the NHL next season.
I don't think Doan will. I think maybe Ginla, because he can still fire it. Same thing with Jágr, but he looked good. He looked decent with LA.
He did.
You know, watching the
he sure
the,
did.
The West Coast games. But it's the skating. That's the thing with people now. And I think that's why none of these guys have gotten it. And I think out of the three, we'll get it with Jágr and Ginla.
All right, Brian. 48-20-6 last season. You get in on the – and did they have the wild card? They were in third last year, weren't they? No, they were wild card.
First wild card, Columbus had the third overall.
That's right. That is correct. What do you predict out of the Rangers this season?
If you look at the way the division is, I don't see them cracking the top three. It's going to be tough. I mean, when you look at it, you know that Washington's going to be up there, which they might take a step back. Pittsburgh's going to be up there. I think Columbus will stay up there if Bobrovsky stays healthy at some point.
Yeah.
I think they slot in that one or two very nicely. I still would rather go through the Atlantic. I'm not really sure about that yet. I want to see how things start to pan out. I know they had a decent amount of points last year. If I pull it up here, they will make the playoffs. I know that. I mean, they had 102 points last year. I think they're going to be around there again, enough to get it in. I mean, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But I think they go second or third round next year. That's my prediction. I think they get past the first round. I think they're a good enough team to get to the second round. Second round depends on who they play. If they run to Pittsburgh, goodbye. if you go through the Atlantic, I like my odds a little bit better, but I'd really like to see his team go to the third round and, you know, have a legitimate shot at going back to the Cup again.
Yeah, at least for Hank, man. You know, and I think if you're a Metro team and you're on that, you know, the lower end, the third or wild card spot, you almost – like you said, want to go and try to play your way through the Atlantic instead of trying to get out of the Metro.
Yeah, and that's why last year they really shot themselves in the foot because they had a golden opportunity to get far.
Fuck, dude, it was right there. I mean, at least to get to the conference final, it was right there. Okay, bud, so I think they're right there. But with Columbus, New York, I think Philly got better, and I'm really expecting the Hurricanes to be better. You know, all those teams right there are going to be battling for those spots. And I'm never surprised if two Metro teams get the wild card. It's, you know, the way that division is, it's insane. But I would not be surprised if New York got the third spot or the wild card. They have a good team, and Hank's about as reliable as it gets. Who are your picks for the three stars of the Rangers this season for you?
Well, my third star, I'm going to stick with the guy I mentioned earlier who I wanted to touch on, which is Pavel Obradovich, because he is just pure skill, and he's a former third rounder. But he didn't, you know, obviously got hurt last year. He was in and out of the lineup, but I think he's going to be a mainstay, and he's going to have a lot of upside, and I'm looking for a breakout year from this kid, and he's going to be a major key, I think, for them going forward. And I think he's going to give me my third star there, because just because of the upside he's got.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if he gets a nice NHL footing and doesn't get hurt, I think you're going to see big things from this kid.
I love it. Second star.
Second star. Got to go with Ryan McDonough, the captain.
Boom.
Old reliable on the back end. You can't go wrong with him. You know, he'll always be out there in any situation, 5-on-5, power play, penalty kill, you name it. He's a workhorse for them.
He's growing on me.
I've watched his progression, and it's very nice development. They've really done a good job with him.
Yeah, I wasn't too keen on him, but over the last, you know, season and a half, and with the World Cup, he's a good fucking hockey player. He's definitely growing on me. I like watching him play.
Yeah, him and Smith both went to Wisconsin, so it's a good another connection there.
Hell yeah, dude. And who's your top star?
Got to stick with the king. Most people probably could have predicted it, but, you know, this guy comes through and through. I mean, you don't have Hank, you don't win a game pretty much, at least going forward this year so far.
Right.
I would say look for him to start off strong. He usually has like a dip in November, October, like in that beginning of November. He always seems to find that kind of a hole there, but he pulls himself out. Hopefully he'll stay healthy. I can't see him playing 60 games this year. 60 plus would be tough for him.
I hope he doesn't have to.
50 games would be nice.
And dude, he looked,
yeah,
he looked
not.
Stellar in the World Championships there. He was in fucking Hank mode, man. All right, Brian.
And his brother, I think, wanted to go back there and win it for the country, considering there's no Olympics.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking. I wish they could go play the Olympics, but it is what it is. And at least he got that with his brother. And, you know, him talking about this, you know, this probably being the last time I get to play with my brother was some emotional shit.
Yeah, and let alone his country. I mean,
right?
It's kind of, I don't know, his age, he's got a couple more years on his contract, so... I look for him to have another stellar year. He kind of had a below-average career year last year.
He did.
It looked like miles were getting on his body, but I think he's kind of readjusted. I think he's got a better defense in front of him, and going forward, he'll be having a solid year for them.
I hope he can keep his workload minimal. I mean, obviously, he's going to play a lot of games, but I hope they don't try. I hope they don't have to kill him. So that time when it does come playoff time, that he's ready to go and give the Rangers the run that he deserves. You know, I'd like to see him at least get close and get another shot at it.
Yeah, it was depressing when they got there and it was the first time against the Kings since they made it since 94. And I mean, I'm young enough to where I didn't see 94. I was born a couple years later. but I've never seen the Rangers win a cup, and... for my lifetime, I'd really like to see him because he's the definition of just class, elegance, and just a phenomenal goalie.
Fucking A, Brian. Tell the babies where they can find you, man.
You can check out our website, thehockey411.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, at thehockey411. I'm getting back into it. I just came back from vacation, had a little technical difficulties, but we're going to be booting up our podcast right again later down the week.
And the 4-1-1, it's general hockey news and Rangers, isn't it?
Yes, the Rangers is kind of like a subsection because, right, you know, obviously I grew up around the New York area. That's what I write for. But the Hockey 4-1-1, if you need anything on information, I'm usually commenting on Twitter, or, you know, we'll have certain sections of things on our website, our teams on our website.
And then you write for the Hockey Writers as well, correct?
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah, man. Thank you so much, Brian. I really appreciate it. This has been great, dude. And definitely go follow him on Twitter. You have a fun Twitter.
Yeah, definitely. This is always a pleasure. Usually I'm doing the one asking the questions, having on the reverse.
Hey, man, thanks a lot, dude.
Hey, anytime. Take it easy.
Yep, party on. All right, guys, thanks for listening. That was Brian Anderson of the Hockey 411 podcast, writer for the Hockey Writers, covers the New York Rangers, and that was his season preview for the New York Rangers 2017-18. This podcast was and is brought to you by Lucid Float Spas in Mount Vernon, Ohio. Go see Chad. Get your life together. Feel better. I cannot tell you how much your life will improve if you go for a float and let Chad rub you down. It is the shit. If you want to hear Rogan talk about it, he does it. I do it. You should do it. Let's do it. It's hot as fuck. I'm sweating like a fat fuck. ParkersPlatoon.org. Go donate. Go buy something. It's for a good cause. One veteran at a time. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, that's where to find us. It's weird doing reads at the end, okay? Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're this. I love you guys, I appreciate it. Go follow us on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. Thank you, I love you. Tell your friends. Freedom. Hockey. The Biscuit.